everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. And actually, this is a really exciting episode because this is number 200. And so for episode number 200, I wanted to welcome back someone who hasn't been on for in a while, but someone who was on quite a bit and quite frequently. I can't even speak. Quite frequently before. Welcome back, Brett.
What's up? Happy 200. You got a lot of words, Damon, somewhere in the cloud or wherever stored up with 200 episodes.
Well, it's exciting. We've hit this number. I think when we first started, I don't even think that was on our radar, but for us to be able to go this long and to hit this number, it's quite an accomplishment. So pretty excited about being able to have you back so we can talk about whatever the Lord puts on our heart.
I know there's a lot going on. I know you're in the middle of training as well, but I brought you a donut to celebrate 200th episode. So it's all good vibes here.
Yeah. So we are going to do this one off the dome. Probably haven't heard that term in a while since Brett hasn't been here, but we're going to just go where we feel like we're going to go. And we don't really have a set agenda. So I wanted to throw it out to Brett first. You know, it's been a while. So is there anything God's been highlighting to you recently?
God is definitely, okay, I don't think there's a specific thing he's highlighting to me, but there's just been a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And so I think through that, I've just been in a constant, like, I want to say wrestle, because sometimes that makes maybe a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's more like a dance, like just a consistent dance of like, okay, figuring out his will, his timing, the ways he's working, but then not being like paralyzed to act or to move or to do things because life has to continue. And fortunately, you got to pay a mortgage and do all this other stuff. And so you got to keep moving forward. But yeah, I've just been busy with work, school, the youth.
I don't know if a lot of people know about your school. Why don't you share a little bit about that too?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't tell many people, but I'm at a place now where I'm like, whatever. But I made the decision to apply to go to seminary school. And so this is my first semester. It's almost done, but first semester at Talbot. And so, managing that part-time with full-time work and ministry stuff. And of course, not disregarding any of my obligations as a husband or owner of a dog. But it's been a growing season and just trying to balance and prioritize and do things in a healthy way to balance everything.
All right. So how long did it take you after starting school before you realized, man, I thought I knew a lot, but I really didn't know how much I didn't know?
No. Okay. So you warned me about that because I had talked to you about potentially going back to school for a while, and you had shared with me that that's something that you recognize and a thought that came to mind. And so I was anticipating it like, okay, there's going to be some point where I'm like hit with a lot of stuff or something really profound is going to hit me. And then I'm going to be like, wow, like Damon was right. I didn't know that I didn't know so much. And so I was like, I wonder when that's going to take place. It happened to me in week two. Okay. Week one was like syllabus and getting started and just getting into it. And then week two, I was just like, oh my gosh, I do not think it almost makes me feel like I don't belong here. Like there was just so many other people that I'm just like, they're so smart and so eloquent and like, they just know so much. And then I'm just like, if you know me, that's just how I am in class. And so it's not like any different where some of these other people, I'm like, the way that they type and they write out their responses and stuff, I'm like, we are not the same species. Like, I'm like having to refrain from typing like bro or like, or talk as if I'm just having a conversation and these people are like, their one sentence is like more eloquent and longer than like my whole paragraph. And I'm like, this does not equal.
Yeah. I remember for me, it was about week two. Also, we had I explicitly remember this. It was in my hermeneutics class. Mm. Right. And so in that class, hermeneutics is like teaches you how to study the Bible.
Yeah.
And so in that class, we had to write a response to a passage, right? So they give you a passage and they say, okay, help us to understand what we're supposed to know by reading this passage, right? So we're supposed to look at context. We're supposed to kind of extrapolate it out. Is there a principle that is spoken about in this passage that we can bring to today? Because contextually, we're in different places and all this stuff, right? Mm. So I remember writing it out. I was like, okay, I think I did a good job, right? And then the teacher goes, okay, I'm going to have someone read their response because it was really good.
Gosh.
And this person was pulling out all kinds of, like, where did you even see that? Where did you get that? Oh my gosh, what is going on? I thought I did a good job. And this guy is like 10 levels deeper than I'd ever even imagined. It was like, oh, this is what seminary is going to be like.
For
oh,
sure.
Shoot. I'm in for a long few years.
I know they were talking, it's like the Old Testament. And then, you know, our textbook and different things gives you like, oh, here's like a historical setting, a cultural context background, how this relates to other areas in the ancient Near East and stuff. So I'm like, wow, this is like a lot of stuff. I don't know how much I'm going to retain. And then this one person answered and they were like able to talk about like all of this stuff. And I was just like, first of all, how did you have enough time to read whatever we were supposed to read and like know all of that? I was just like, it's some people are built different.
And I want to give a shout out to all of the students that are coming from abroad where English is not their first language.
Because
like for them to succeed, it's like, man, I'm having a hard time doing it in my native language. So for them to have to be able to do all this work and then write essays in English and that's not their first language, like, oh my gosh, these people must be so smart and so like dedicated to their studies. Like, wow, I couldn't even imagine doing it. I'm having a hard time the way it is, but man, they're awesome.
Yeah, and the majority of mine, because I'm still working full-time, is part-time and online. And so that's also helped me meet some people that are like all over. Mm-hmm. Like there is quite a few people that are local, but I think there was somebody from like Korea that was doing it. There's somebody that was all the way in Charlotte. And so like there's just people all over that. One thing it did give me was like, wow, there is... outside of our bubble at Catalyst or even in our community or our friends' churches, like there are passionate believers, people that want to grow, learn, that want to spread the gospel and make an impact in God's kingdom that are like outside of just the boundaries that I see and know. And I think that is really encouraging and gives a lot of hope. And it's just like, that's kind of cool that it's like, okay, the bigger C church, the body of Christ is still out there big and wide. Oftentimes I think we don't get to see that, especially with all the stuff that's going on in the world, but it is taking place, maybe not as much as we would hope, but it is out there. And so that was cool for me to just be like, okay, like, you're not alone in it. There's other people wherever they're at that are right there with you.
Yeah. And you have some opportunities to do that are different than when I was in school 20 years ago. Okay. 15 years ago. But, because of the advancements in technology, I mean, all of my classes were in person. We didn't have any online classes. So for students to, you know, for a Korean student, they had to come to Biola to be in class, you know, where you're able to have class with people that are all over the place. I think that's pretty cool too. You know, I really feel like that's something unique about the church, is just the way that we're connected to so many people that are outside, where you know, like in regular everyday life, you're connected to the people that you might work with or you might see that play the same sports, or you know, just local. So through the church and through our connections through the Lord, it's like we're able to connect with all these people from outside of our little bubbles. And it's something that's unique, and I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I might have mentioned on the podcast before, but I know you know it well, but I okay, kids listening, if there's any kids listening, go to school and I don't want to be a bad influence. But I personally had a hard time with school. And it wasn't always hard time academically, but just like purpose, motivation. Some of it was anxiety. And so I think even the thought of going back to school was like, do I really want to do this? Or can I just almost like get the benefits without actually having to go to school? But in that, I think I have been experiencing it in a different new way. Mm-hmm. And my perspective had to shift. Even in just like taking the step to actually apply, like knowing that, okay, if you're going to do this, like you're going to do it. So I had to, I mean, I have told Brittany, like maybe I just stopped saying it, but I have told her like every week or multiple times throughout the week, like, I can't believe I'm back in school. Like, and everyone tells me, I never thought you'd be the one to go back to school, or wow, you're back in school. That says a lot. Cause yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I felt the same way when you first started. I was like, Brett, do you remember what school was like before?
Yes.
But to me, it also showed just where you were at personally, like you were in a different place. Right. And it's been cool to see your journey and the way that the Lord has been bringing healing and bringing wholeness to you, that you're able to make some of these decisions that is like, that is not what, yeah. If this was 10 years ago, Brett would not be purposefully trying to go back to school.
But oh, for sure.
He's in a different place now. And I think that's a good segue into talking a little bit about this past Sunday's message and this little series that Pastor Ross is leading us in, which is on the renewed mind. You know, it's like, yeah, your mind had to totally be renewed in order for you to make this decision. Cause I remember how difficult it was, like where, you know, there were seasons where you took breaks from school just because it was so difficult personally and things like that. And so for now to be able to say, yeah, I personally want to go back. It's like, that's a, like you said, a totally different perspective, which I think is a big part of the renewed mind. It's looking at things through a different lens.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I never, well, I have connected the two, but the majority of my life has been trying to renew my mind. But I think the key difference is, like, even to the highest degree of, like, one, like, how are you renewing your mind? And kind of, like, with what? 'Cause, I mean, just quick for people who maybe don't know, or you know, newer people to the podcast or whatever, like I, you know, have spent probably 2/3 of my life in therapy, dealing with anxiety, panic disorder, and dealing with through emotions and mental battles. And so the renewing of the mind has always been almost like a secular, there's like a secular sense to it of more of just like function of the daily, you know, just from day to day, like, you know, from having a hard time just even leaving my house to like, okay, how do I, you know, not even looking at it in a biblical sense of renewing my mind. And, but in the larger scale, I think through that, I've been able to see how the renewing of the mind is not just like a to shed off quote unquote bad things or to get rid of bad habits or thought patterns, which is a part of it, but it's really to experience what God wants for you, right? Like the renewing of the mind is so that you are more aligned with Him and His purposes and the goodness and the things that He has for you and the ways that you can experience Him. And so I think it wasn't until, gosh, maybe I started on staff at church that like, I think it really propelled me in that direction, because I think before that it was just striving to be okay. Like, I just need to be able to function and be okay and like survive. But I feel like in connection with renewing the mind, and it not just being a secular function sense, but also combining that with what the Lord has, it's like, oh, now you're really living, right? And that's something different. And so still a journey for me, like I, like you said, like through healing and different things, like it's a daily thing. It's a learning how to walk that out. It's not just a snap, you're done. Now your mind's completely renewed and everything, you see everything brand new. It's like, no, you actually have to like work at it, build at it, make choices in that way. And I know you're experiencing a lot of stuff where your mind, I'm sure, is maybe doesn't feel like it's renewed, but it's been flipped upside down. But at the end of it, it'll be renewed. And so, yeah, I like that Ross is focusing on the kingdom and renewal of the mind, but there's just so many layers to it that you know, he can only talk about so much, but it's cool that we could kind of dive into it more.
Yeah, I think one of the things that the Lord has been showing me about the renewing of the mind is that I think a lot of times we associate our mind with just our thoughts. And I think there's whether it's the biblical version or like the way that the Lord sees the mind, I feel like there's so much more incorporated into what the mind actually is than just, okay, it's just our thoughts, or even just, it's just our brain. And so one of the things that came out of, you know, we've talked about the brain book before with Dr. Caroline Leaf, that she talks about is that our brain and our mind are not the same thing. Like our mind is actually, like kind of like a higher level than our brain. Our brain is just the physical part that allows things to function. And so that is not specifically our brain. Like our brain and our mind are not the same thing. And so when we look at it like that, it's like, that's where like the plasticity that Pastor Ross was talking about happens, is because we have to recognize that our brain and our mind are not the same thing. So our mind can control what our brain does. And so, in his sermon on Sunday, Pastor Ross gave this illustration of like a path, right? And so he had this picture of like this dirt path. And each time we think a certain way, it kind of makes the path more like a path, right? It's starting to clear out bushes or trees or grass. And then you're starting to dig in this path. And the more you think about it, the deeper the path goes. And so the harder it is to change the path, because it's kind of ingrained into the dirt. And so if we're just thinking about it in terms of like our brain is and our mind are the same, then it's, you can't change that because it's one thing. But when we look at it as, okay, our mind and our brain are not the same, then our mind can control where that path goes, right? And so we can be consciously making choices to change the paths that have already been. But the deeper the path is, the harder it is to make some of those changes.
For sure.
Because a lot of times our brain just goes with the efficient, the easy, and kind of how we've always been.
Yeah.
And because some of those pathways are developed fully. And so it's like, in order for us to change and to renew our mind, we have to really start being intentional about making some of those changes. Like, oh, this is not the right way to think, or this is not the right way to see the world. And, but this is the way that the Lord has it is. But sometimes we've just been living in the world for so long that some of those pathways are just so deep that it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
You just go with what you know. Even if like you don't want to, your body almost naturally just does it because it's familiar, or it's, you know, most of the time you're not going to do something that's the unknown or something you never experienced or thought about. It's going to go to what is familiar. And I think a lot of it is also connected to our heart, which we don't recognize. Or when we hear like renewing of your mind, you're like, okay, yeah, like you said, it's just like, okay, I need to retrain my brain. But there's a lot of the aspects that go into, like you said, something bigger. And I know the heart is something that is connected to that really closely. And one thing that I've learned in school, a picture he kind of paints is like, if you think of like an arrow, like our will is like the tip of the arrow. So it's the part that like is pushing or gets something going forward, or it penetrates, or it's like the first point. Mm-hmm. But an arrow can't stand without like the shaft or the weight behind it. Mm-hmm. And that's like our character. And so in terms of like renewing of our mind, like these changes, if it's just in our brain, like it can't stand alone by itself. Mm-hmm. It needs like a weight or something to carry it or to continue it so that it becomes a new pathway or it becomes a new thing that we're able to uphold. And so in that picture, part of it is not just retraining our brain, but also like retraining our character and our soul and our heart, because that will end up developing the brand new pathway or choice or thought pattern or whatever it is. It kind of needs to go hand in hand. It can't just be like, okay, I just need to stop thinking about this and then my brain is retrained. It's like there's a little bit more nuance and layers to it. Yeah, and I've had to work through a lot of those things in myself even recently, to not just, I would say, function okay, but like to really ask the Lord, okay, what does this look like for me? Like, how do you see it? And try to aim for that rather than in the past, I would just aim for like, what's going to make me okay? Mm-hmm.
And really, that's where the real transformation comes from, is when there is that alignment, right? Because how many times have we heard people say like, oh, I know it in my head, but I don't know it in my heart.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, there's that disconnect that's there because we look at things as disconnected, right? So it's like, oh, if I just think the right things, then everything will be good. It's like, no, there's so much more to it than just our thoughts, right? Like, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but this, like, as I get older, I feel like this is happening more, but there's times where like I leave my house and I'm intending to drive somewhere and then I'll end up like coming to the Freedom Center, or like going towards the Freedom Center, like, oh shoot, I missed my turn. Just because I've been doing that drive like every day for years, right? It's like, I'm so used to doing that drive at a certain time, you know, like I don't have to come as much as I used to, right? So it's like sometimes like, okay, I'm going to go where maybe go shopping or something. Like I got to go to the supermarket. And it's like, wait, why am I going towards the Freedom Center? Oh, shoot. I need to turn around. But it's just because I'm so used to going that way, you know, that it's just kind of like on autopilot that I go there, right? And so how much of our life is just already on autopilot because of some of these pathways that we've built that we need to really be like, oh shoot, I'm going the wrong way. I need to turn.
Yeah. No, I mean that has happened to me a couple of times. I've even had to ask Brittany in the car, like I'm driving the like some a certain way, and then I'm like, wait, where am I going? Like asking her, like, I forget where I'm actually going because otherwise I'm just gonna go here and it's just gonna take me to somewhere where I normally go, like church or I don't know, certain freeways. I just like I only take this one to go to my in-laws, so we're going to end up there if you don't tell me where we're supposed to go.
Yeah. Well, fortunately now church is pretty close to where church used to be. So you're not
That's
too
true.
Far off.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. There were times like, oh shoot, I'm not going to Stanford. I got to go to the Kingdom Center.
Yeah. Yeah. How have you experienced or have you experienced like times where you've recognized that like, oh, these are like new pathways that I need to like create? Cause I think, well, when I've thought about renewing the mind before, like, you know, like I've definitely prayed like, okay, God, like take these thoughts captive and, you know, fill me with more of you, like take my anxiety and instead like give me eyes to see, like just like I've had to pray and talk to God so much about helping me like change things. Because it's like when I'm especially dealing with anxiety or, you know, a lot of mental health stuff, like a lot of times people's response, and they don't intend to be hurtful or whatever, but they're like, well, just don't think about it or just don't worry. And it's like,
it's not helpful.
It's like, yeah, that's true, but like, I can't. Like, I don't know, like, I can't help it. Like, I used to tell my parents, like, I can't help it. Like, I'm not trying to be anxious before my basketball game. Like, sorry, Damon, that I'm begging you to sub me out. But, like, I'm not trying to do that. I just, like, can't help it. Like, I can't stop it. And so I've had to pray and talk with God so many times, you know, even before a date or whatever it is, going to a Dodger game or before I'm going to speak at church, like, God, like, take this anxiety and instead, like, fill me with more of your Spirit to see people the way that you see it. Like, just something to replace it where my mind is not focused on that. And so it was hard in the beginning, but I found myself having to, like, consciously, like try to connect with those things or be aware of if God does bring opportunities or things for me to connect with. And, like, I wanted to just say associate with that, but, like, step into that rather than, like, stay stuck in the no, but I feel anxious or no, da 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 da, right? Because that's not going to help me create any new pathways or that's not going to help me renew my mind. Like, there is a part, like, agency that I have in it where it's like, I need to be aware of those opportunities that God's bringing or, like, consciously choose to step into some of those things. And so I was just curious if, I mean, I know in the season that you're in, there's probably a lot, but if there's just things that you could think of off the top of your head, like, oh, there's been times where I've had to, like, choose this or I've had to help my mind and not fault to just what my brain's thinking, but, like, choose something and step into it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'll give the first thing that comes to mind is a recent example, but it kind of has something to do with a topic that I didn't think we were really going to talk too much about today, but something that you had mentioned as we were prepping that you've been learning about in seminary is this thing, the hidden heart, right? And so the hidden heart is, you know, it's experiences and things that we've had in the past that have affected us that have kind of become our default, things that we live out of that we're not always consciously aware of, right?
Yes, it's just, like, underneath. It's deep. Yeah.
You know, could be things that happened to us when we were little kids, could be something that happened to us when we were teenagers, could be something that happened to us before that affected us in a deep way, but we're not consciously thinking about it. But we're actually living our life with that as a reality, even if it's not a, you know, true, even if it's not, but our experience of it has shaped the way that we're living our life, right? And so it's interesting, and I'm going to give a shout out to Mimo. You know, she's always pitching ideas and things that she's hearing and trying to help us to grow in different ways. And so one of the recent things that she sent me was this podcast by Jenny Allen, and she's a kind of a well-known speaker. And she just wrote a book about the lies that we don't know that we believe, right? And so it kind of deals with this hidden heart concept, like things, lies that we believe that we're not consciously aware of, but they're just kind of underneath, right?
Yeah.
And so as part of it, she has this kind of assessment on her website that you can take, and it'll help you to clarify and identify, like, what are some lies that we believe about ourselves that are not true, but we're also not consciously thinking, like, this thought, right? So I take this assessment, and then the one that comes out is I'm worthless, right? And so I was, like, thinking about it. I was like, okay, does that resonate with me right now? It's like, I don't think that resonates with me right now. But that's kind of the point, is that it's the hidden part, right? So it's like the hidden part of me, the hidden part of my heart feels that way. So it's not something that I'm consciously like, wow, man, I'm worthless. But it was, you know, part of the hiddenness of it. And so that's where its effect is difficult too, because it's like, it's deep, it's hidden, and it's affecting how we live, but we're not consciously aware of it. And like I said, for me, it doesn't even resonate with me right now, but it's in there somewhere. So I was reflecting with the Lord, and it was like, oh no, this is, do you remember? That's kind of how you felt when you were, like, a teenager. Like,
oh wow.
That's really how you felt.
Yeah.
And so, like, you in your, like, adulthood have really dealt with a lot of that, but it's still underneath all of that, because that's how you saw the world. That's how you experienced the world when you were a teenager. And I was like, oh shoot, That's why it doesn't resonate with me right now.
Yeah.
But I could see how it was deep in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And so that's been part of the journey that I feel like the Lord has been having me on, is to kind of, I know this might sound like new agey or whatever, but I feel like the Lord has been kind of bringing things back from the past and having me like be more, I guess, kind of exposed to or re-exposed to things like from when I was younger to bring me back to those places to renew that part of my mind, right? To renew that part of my heart, that the part that's hidden, right? And to bring healing to that area.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's not a lie anymore that's believed deep down, but he's replacing it with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So then more of my whole self is in alignment and believing this, the truth, and not just kind of like the cognitive or like the parts that I'm consciously thinking about right now.
Yeah. 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 It, our past experiences and even things we don't recognize that we like took in, like maybe even things that were modeled or things we witnessed, like it leaves an imprint.
Mm-hmm.
And it, that might not always be, yeah, something that we're intentionally choosing, but like kind of like we said earlier, like your brain kind of just goes to what it knows. And so then sometimes you just do that because, and you don't know why. Mm-hmm. It just kind of, that's the way it is. Like I remember when Brittany and I first got married, she was like, we just do things differently. And off the top of my head, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, and she was like, you wash rice differently. And I was like, huh? And she was like, yeah, like you guys wash it in this like separate container and then you pour out the water and then you put the rice into the rice cooker, like the bowl in the rice cooker. And she's like, why do you guys do that? And I was like, I don't know. Like my parents just did that. So then I just
always done it.
Yeah. So then I just did it. But that's like something where I would just do it that way.
Yeah.
I wasn't like consciously like, oh, like this makes it so much more efficient or obviously not. Or like I didn't make like a huge choice to do it that way. Like I just saw that's how my parents did it, I guess. So then I just started doing it like that. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until she pointed out where it's like, oh yeah, I don't know why I do it that way. But then to change those things, it does take a conscious effort. And so I appreciate you sharing. That's a pretty deep, well, that assessment took you to a pretty deep, deep place.
Oh, there's a lot more, but yeah, it's something that I feel like has been really, well, one, it's been really interesting. It's okay. If you hear me ever use the word interesting,
it's because you can't say certain other words.
Yeah, it's because I have tried to eliminate certain words from my vocabulary because there's a negative connotation to those words. And I don't think things are negative. So some of those words might be like weird or crazy, or like when I think of those words, it's like, okay, that's bad. Right. So I was like, okay, things are not bad. So I can't use those because I associate those things with negative. Right. It's like, okay, it's been interesting, but it's been really interesting, but it's been really life-giving to be able to experience the Lord in different areas of my heart that weren't able to experience him before because of certain lies or certain things that I believed about myself. And it's been a pretty incredible journey to recognize the ways that the Lord is like, I saw you even then. I saw you even then. And it's like, whoa, like I didn't even recognize that you were there.
Yeah, I had, that was a big thing for me in my journey that I had to kind of reconcile, was like dealing with my anxiety. And at the point, I think I was first diagnosed and had a panic attack maybe around like 12 years old. And I could not see God in it. And so going through a bunch of different prayer sessions and PMTs and just, you know, I'm so thankful for all the people that have come alongside, that have tried you know, help or pray over and stuff. But like, it wasn't until, I think it also had to do with me being a little older, but recognizing like God was there, because I didn't feel like he was. And so that created a certain gap almost between me and him. And then in turn, it kept certain people at a certain distance, because it's kind of reflecting that gap with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until there was a series of events. It was a prayer time. It was a worship time at retreat. Just a couple of events where I still couldn't see it. Sometimes in prayer ministry, they ask you like, where do you see God? But like, I could feel it. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't describe it other than like, oh, he was there even though I didn't see it. Like, just a different feeling inside of me. And then it just totally broke me. But that then healed and helped renew. And so then there wasn't that gap. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't that like, almost like manifestation with other people. It was like a different freedom, like life that you said. There's a different like life that it brought. That was like almost like an exhale for me, where I was just like, oh, wow.
Yeah, and I think that's an area that I feel connected to Jacob in the Old Testament, right? Mm. He was running away from his brother, and he lays down one night and he has this dream and he sees angels descending and ascending into heaven, right? And then he wakes up and he says, you know, surely the Lord was in this place and I didn't even realize it, right? And so I think that is an area, kind of like you said, that creates gaps. So when we don't recognize where the Lord is at different points in our life, and then it's like, God, why did you leave me? Where were you? And so it's hard to trust when we don't experience or see him, right?
And
that's where some of our anxiety or just different things come up, is because like, can I trust you, God? Can I trust you? Where were you when I was going through this difficult thing? I didn't see you, right? And so I do believe like that's been part of the journey that he's been taking me on, is like, even though you didn't see me, I was there and I saw you. And he's been kind of bringing me back to some of those places of my hidden heart that I didn't even recognize that I was operating out of, to say, yeah, even in those times where you were struggling, like I saw you. And it has kind of helped to bridge those gaps, but it's really been the gap in the trust. It's like, oh, I can trust him in a deeper place than I'd ever trusted him before.
Wow.
And it's like, whoa, like, how does that change how you experience your life when you know that you can trust in a deeper way?
Yeah, yeah. It kind of reminds me too of like, and this is not to break it down so people are like panicking about their own life or their own thoughts, but like how many things like we come into agreement with that like aren't with how the Lord sees things, right? Because like, how many things happen in your life where, like, I know for me, I think I've mentioned it before, but I was like, oh, things have to be like hard for me, or like I don't get my way. And like, I just came into agreement with like, that's just how my life's going to be. And then it's like, without knowing it, my lens now looking through everything like is from that perspective. Even though I'm not every day telling myself that, but because of like, oh yeah, like I kind of agree with that. So that's how like the posture of where I'm going to come from. It's almost like, now that's the filter I've set up. And so even when I'm not trying to look through it, like I'm looking through it. And so I didn't recognize until, I think it kind of had an effect on Brittany, or I heard her say something and I was just like, that's not true. But then I was like, but I felt like God told me, or something told me, like, you're the one who like kind of started that, or like you planted that seed. And then I was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm, like almost like speaking this into existence. And then I'm like, why is it like this? But it's because like, that's the lens that I'm seeing things through. That's the way that I've trained my mind to train my brain to look at things through. So then it's like, well, what do I expect then? And so then until I come into agreement with what the Lord has and break some of those other things or change my perspective, like I can't necessarily expect certain things to be different. or to be able to view things in the ways that God sees it or what he has for me, because that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the things that are hard, that are bad, how it's unfair, things that I'm hurt, ways that I don't have to trust. It almost feels safer because it's like, that's my expectation. Mm-hmm. But then being able to change that, it's like, oh, wow, it is different. And there is, it doesn't mean that hard or bad things go away, but you're able to view it, or in light of that, you can still see the life and the goodness of mm-hmm. that God has.
Yeah, and I think that's really what the renewed mind is, right? Because when we're able to see things from that different perspective, then our expectations are different. And then a lot of times when our expectations are different, then the outcome ends up changing too. And so I really feel like that's part of the renewed mind that we're talking about, is how are we aligning ourselves, our expectations, our perspectives into alignment with what the Lord wants. And then also, once we do that kind of with our conscious self, then recognizing too, like, are there any places that are hidden that are not in alignment with that too?
Mm. And one thing I want to mention to people about the hidden heart, it's a deep place, but I think sometimes you will find that the things in there are not necessary. They can be huge traumatic events, but sometimes they're not even like crazy bad things. Like, it could be like a small thing, but the way that it affects you because of how you're wired or in the situation or time that you experienced it, like, it has big ramifications. Mm-hmm. But I don't want people to be afraid of potentially going or kind of what revealing or seeing what's in your hidden heart, because you think it's gonna be some crazy traumatic da da da. It could be a comment that somebody said, but the way that it hit you in that time of your development or what you were going through back then, like, it had a huge effect. Mm-hmm. And so it's called the hidden heart. That's just the way that it's described, but I don't want it to be like scary or seem like some type of like overwhelming place to address or kind of search, because what I've been learning is like, it naturally leaks out into our life, mm-hmm. whether we know it or not. Like if you ever wondered like why you respond to something in a certain way, or people will tell you like, that didn't seem like you the way that you responded to that, or that seems so out of character. When someone says that seems so out of character, there's probably a reason for that. And sometimes it is from that place of that hidden heart where it's like, oh, it's actually coming from a quote unquote different place. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage people, as we especially have been stepping into this season with like Pastor Dean and healing, with Ross talking about this, with just different areas where God is taking our church, like, we don't have to be afraid of it and live from a place of fear, but instead like know that there's life and God's goodness on the other side of it.
Yeah. I had lunch with Pastor Dean and Carrie and Hannah yesterday. Mm. And one of the things that we were talking about was, you know, in the Bible, it says that, you know, all these people that needed healing came to Jesus and he healed them all. Right. And so kind of, when we think of healing, a lot of times we think of physical healing, but Pastor Dean was saying, you know, I don't think it was just physical healing.
He
recognized what healing the people needed, you know, kind of like Trish shared from the last healing service last month, right? She went in wanting healing from her joints being painful, and she came out with a healed heart, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, Jesus knows that.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what area we need the most healing from, right? Right now it could present as a physical thing, but it's like, if he knew that, well, not if, he knew, he knows if it's an emotional, if it's a spiritual or a different type of healing that, and so, but the Bible just characterized it as he healed them all, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, but we associate it with physical, but it's like, he probably was healing, he recognized like, oh, this person needs deliverance. Oh, this person needs physical healing. Oh, this person needs spiritual healing. Oh, this person needs emotional healing, and whatever that healing, he stepped into it and he brought healing in those areas. Mm-hmm. And so I think for us too, as we enter into these seasons, it's not just a physical healing mm-hmm. that we're seeking after, but mm-hmm. the Lord wants to give us wholeness, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And take us back to how he created us, mm-hmm. right? And so if there are areas that are hidden or things like that, it's not to shame us, it's mm-hmm. not to hurt us, but it's really to recognize that those are areas that are, whether it's lies that we believed or things that we've come into agreement, like Brett was talking about, that are not in alignment with him, mm-hmm. that he wants to bring wholeness and bring this newness and bring, you know, what he originally intended for us, and to bring out the lie so that we can be replaced with the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like I've been learning a lot about God, and it's not necessarily new things, but it's just like a greater depth mm-hmm. and like gratitude, or just like a, like, oh wow. Like the impact of it is greater. And so, yeah, whether it's through the new thought patterns, whether it's through learning how to walk out healing or whatever, I think just like, yeah, the thing that just comes to mind right now that is just kind of repeating is just like the goodness of it. Because I guess my expectations for things, I kind of set them low, or like I don't, okay, you, I feel like you are a pretty glass half full type of guy. You're pretty optimistic. Whenever I talk to you, like, if you need to talk to somebody that will help see a good positive light or a good positive outcome, talk to Damon, because he definitely can do that and will help you. And you'll be like, oh yeah, like, yeah, like I could see that. I agree. I don't do that well, especially when it comes to myself or whatever, because I think I try to set a quote unquote realistic expectation. And so sometimes that does come with negatives and stuff, but not that I never experienced, or not that I never expected God to be good or things that he has. Like there are a lot of things where I'm like, oh no, that's going to be good. But I think in general, to protect myself from not being hurt or feel like I'm let down by God, sometimes I don't come with that expectancy. But in my recent years and kind of more, okay, I'll say in my 30s, I think that has been a shift for me, is like the expectancy of like God's goodness. Mm-hmm. And that's something new for me. And it sounds weird to say out loud, but like, I really can see how it's like, oh no, I have so much more hope, so much more, like the glass maybe is not half full, but it's not half empty. I sound like a big downer, but but I think for myself especially, it's more like, no, there's goodness there, and I'm expecting God to show up in that way where that was not the case before.
All right, so it's kind of funny that you went to that place, because I think that's been something that the Lord has been revealing to me too, has been a way to cover up the hidden part. Oh, dang. It's like, oh, that's a learned thing. It's like, so I feel, yeah, that's one of the things that I feel like the Lord is kind of pointing. I was like, oh yeah, you're not a lot of times, but there are times where you kind of go to some of those places as a way to cover up some of the brokenness or some of the hurts by trying to not sugarcoat it, but
yeah,
try to look at the bright side. But it's a way to kind of avoid looking at some of the depth part.
Huh.
I was like, oh, so God, like, what am I supposed to do with that? It's like, so I think part of it is like recognizing there are aspects of it that is who I am.
For sure.
But then there's aspects of it where I have to recognize, like, am I going to that place just to hide or to cover things up?
Mm.
And if that's the case, then like, what is it that I'm trying to cover up, or what is it?
Interesting.
What's that deeper thing that's going on inside of me that I'm kind of running away from?
Mm.
Right. And so that's been an interesting journey too.
Wow.
But kind of like, okay, I want to go back to something that you said earlier.
Okay.
That you said, you know, like sometimes when we think about the hidden heart, you know, we have this kind of, oh, it's going to be traumatic. It's going to be something crazy. It's going to be something difficult. But I have an experience of something that wasn't that mm-hmm. crazy, but it definitely affected how I lived. Mm. And then I feel like the Lord has been kind of working on that in me too. Because I feel like there are certain things that it's like, oh yeah, it kind of shaped how I kind of responded to different things, that it's not the way that he really wanted me to, or that it's not really the way that I personally wanted to, but I did it out of response to this agreement that I made.
I see.
Okay. So when I was going into junior high, right, I was kind of nervous. Like I went from a small, small school. Like my graduating class at my school in elementary school was 3 people.
What?
Yeah. So there were 3 of us, right? So small school.
Wow.
Right. And then I go to junior high where our class was like 600-700 people, right? So
jeez.
It's like 3 people my age to 600 or 700 people my age, right? So right before the first day of school, I remember I was like super nervous. Like I don't know anybody, like a different school district, different everything. So
my gosh.
It was a private school that I went to elementary. So it was like I wore a uniform every day. Mm. Now I like not gonna wear the same thing that everybody else is wearing. Like what's that gonna be like, right? Mm. Like I hope I pick the right things to wear. You know? Okay, so I remember right before school was about to start, I'm getting pretty anxious, pretty nervous about it. And I go to my dad and I say, Dad, like, I'm nervous. What should I do? And he said, just fit in. Just try to fit in.
Interesting.
Just try to fit in, right? And so I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good, right? Just try to fit in. Don't make waves. Don't try to bring attention. Just try to fit in, right? And so I think at that time, I came into such agreement with that, that it caused a lot of inner tension because it's like, what if there was something that I did that was good that didn't make me fit in? It's like,
oh, like that's a dilemma,
right? Like, do I keep doing the good thing
yeah.
if it's going to cause me to not fit in, or do I try to just fit in? Right. Mm. And so there was this inner tension, right? And so because I came into such agreement with it, that tension was like deep, but then it affected how I would live out later areas of my life too. And so it got to the point where it was like living out of that, but it's not like I'm consciously like, what do I need to do so that I fit in? But it's just like, that's, you know, so that's one of the things that I feel like the Lord has been pointing out to me recently. So one of my strength finders is adaptability, right?
Yeah.
So, but I think I kind of went overboard or, you know, the extreme.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
try to adapt so much that just to fit in, but that's not really how I feel or how I think or like what I want. And so one of the things that I feel like the Lord has been doing is like, okay, we need to shift that agreement that you made. And so I was like, but God, I don't even necessarily feel like I resonate with that right now. And what I felt like he was saying is like, that's because you didn't make the agreement right now. Like that agreement is deep. So you have to go back to that place that you were in at that time to kind of break that agreement.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. So that was part of the hiddenness was that it was just so deep that it affected how I lived. And again, it's not a traumatic thing. It's not a bad thing. It, you know, it helped me survive junior high. But it was an agreement that I made that wasn't how he made me to live, right? Because I think that's been one of the struggles. Like, okay, well, what if God didn't make me to fit in? What if God made me to stand out in a certain way?
I was going to say, we got to tell, well, you're still young, but we got to tell younger Damon, you got to fit out.
Right? But, and so that's been part of the journey that I've been on too. It's just like, are there certain agreements that I made with things like as I was growing up or things that are not in alignment with how God made me or God wants me to think. And that's been part of my renewing my mind journey is recognizing that, yeah, there were a lot of things that I did or agreements that I made in the past that are affecting how I live right now that I'm not consciously trying to do, but they become so ingrained in pathways and ways that I've done things.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I have to learn a new way.
Yeah. having to learn a new way. That's probably the title of the episode. Having to learn a new way. I'm looking forward to, you're going to need an episode or some type of whatever for yourself to share your experience. Because you're still kind of, maybe not in the middle, but like in the thick of certain things and processing and what does that look like and continued healing and all of that. But I think it'd be interesting for people to hear after you're kind of on the other side of it more.
Yeah, I guess you're going to have to come back and do that episode. But, you know, there have been times where it's been pretty difficult. Mm. You know, I'll give an example too. It's just like at the retreat, you know, we had that experience where at night we were supposed to go up and we were supposed to write on the black rocks and then give it to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so one, logistically, I was on the prayer team, so it was hard time-wise to be able to do that for myself. Mm-hmm. But then in reflecting, I was like, I'm not ready to do that. I wasn't ready to do that at the time.
Wow.
Because there's something inside of me that's like, I'm not ready to do that. Mm. Right? So it was too difficult. But as time has gone on and as the Lord has revealed new stuff, like it went through the process of like, okay, I'm ready now. Mm. I'm ready now. Mm. And so, yeah, it's been an interesting journey but it's been really good. Mm. Been really good. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think I've shared that Pastor Barry has been wanting you know, our staff to have sessions with Pastor Dean mm-hmm. and Carrie, right? So, you know, I had another one yesterday, and afterwards I was like, I feel like a peace that I haven't felt before.
Oh, nice.
Because of this journey that I've been on.
Wow.
And a lot of it's been renewing the mind, some of the things that I've been sharing about.
Yeah.
But it's just really like, oh, there's a different like settledness of my soul that hasn't been there before. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of a crazy journey. And yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about it more on the podcast, but yeah, and a lot of it has dealt with just things that have been whether it's lies believed from the past or things in the hidden heart or that have been revealed that aren't aligned with, you know, God's purpose for my life, that it's been really amazing, really incredible. But like I said, it hasn't been super easy, but yeah, some of the stories are like, is that real? Is this really happening? Mm-hmm. Like, this is interesting.
I know even some of the stuff you've shared, it's like, yeah, you're kind of just left with like, kind of like, oh my gosh, that's a lot. But to see it, God kind of, well, also it's trusting in that God is a redeemer, right? And so even though we have those things in our hidden heart or whatever, like, it's not just like, sucks for you, you had to go through that. There is a part and point of redemption that God brings to it. And so as difficult as it's been or at times where it's not been easy, like God, I don't want to say he matches that with goodness, but there's like a peace that you shared or the joy, the freedom, whatever it is that God brings to that place, like that is greater than the hurt or how difficult it was to go to that place or work through those things, those efforts. Like is God full of redemption. And so whether it's big or small, he redeems all of it.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that has been pretty incredible about this whole thing is God's timing. It's like, sometimes it's like God could not have timed or aligned these things. Like, okay, only God could do it, basically. Yeah. There were times where I was like, only God could have lined up all of these things to happen all right now or during this season. Or like, it wasn't a coincidence. It's like only God could have timed some of this stuff. It's like, what the?
Yeah, God's time. That's for me. That's a whole nother episode, because that's an area where I question and wrestle with a lot. God's timing, and just I think the way that I'm wired is naturally to try to figure that out, but you can't figure that out, because it's in His timing.
Yeah.
But that is probably one of the most crucial and almost like underrated aspects that I don't think we often consciously bring into the equation is God's timing. Because it's like things could almost be all right, or everything is correct, or you feel like you've done, but then if it's like just not in His timing, then it's kind of like you're ready to run a race, but if God didn't say go yet, are you going to go? It's kind of like, I don't know, man, that's a risky choice. And so until God kind of lines that all up and kind of gives the green light, or however He works it and does His God thing, it's kind of, that's a huge element, and I'm not always the best with that.
You know, I got disqualified from a race before for jumping the gun.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So that hits different with you?
It does hit different. It does hit different. I remember. Okay, so I guess we're going to Hidden Heart part four. It's like, oh, man, Brett, why you got to go there? No, there was one race in high school I remember. So this was during track, right?
Yeah.
So during track, usually if you false start, the starter will give you like a second chance, right? Mm. Like there's one opportunity to like, okay, you messed up, you get a second chance. But for some reason, I guess the starter or whatever was not in a good mood.
Mm.
And so he's like, I kind of jumped the gun a little bit, and he's like, all right, you're out.
Wow.
He's like, you're out. Like, get off the track. I was like, what?
Oh, dang.
Right. And so this was one of the first races of the day. And then I was supposed to run one of the last races of the day. So I was like just stewing the rest of the time, and everybody saw it. Right. And so the team that we were running against wasn't that great, but my teammates were like, they saw it. They saw how mad I was. So basically they let me win the race that I ran at the end of the day because I was so mad.
Wow.
So the race at the end of the day was the 2 mile. So I'm running 8 laps, and in the beginning I'm like running upset. And so I like take off at the beginning, and they're like, what is he doing? He must be really mad, right? So at the end I'm like dying because I went out too hard, and they're just like chilling. They're like laughing, and I'm like dying. But they're like, okay, let's just let him win because he's so bad. Yeah, so.
That's funny.
That's what comes to mind when you talk about being at the starting line, and if God doesn't shoot the gun and say go, then should it go? I went too early. I got disqualified, and then it ruined my experience the rest of the day.
Okay, without diving into it too much, that's the thing. That's the wrestling part for me, is in God's timing. You technically don't have to wait for it, but you just probably won't experience what He has for you, or it's not all lined up. But in His timing, like, you still have choice. There are certain situations where it's like, oh, there's no other way it could have happened except for God. But in other situations, like, there is an aspect. Yeah. See, otherwise I'm going to get into it way too much, but it's just it's kind of like I wrestle with my part in it, my part in God's timing. Because if it's ultimately in His timing, like, what role do I play in it? But that's a huge other discussion that could go a lot of different places really deep. But that's the part of, like, you could choose to just take off, right? But maybe you end up mad. And
yeah, I mean, I think for me, in regards to that one, I feel like that's where it's interesting, because God is like so like Like, he knows us so well that it's like, yeah, he already knows what we're going to do too, right? Mm. So all of these things in his timing, it's kind of crazy because it's like he's able to time things as well as take into account he knows us, as well as like to take into account like he's not going to step on our free will either.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. Cool. So it's like, it's not like he's going to say, Brett, you have to do this at this time
for sure
in order for this to happen.
For sure.
Right. But it's like this crazy confluence of events that it's like, wait, how did that all, it's like, well.
Yeah. That gave me a little bit of chills when you said that actually, cause I was just like, yeah.
Right. Cause it's like, he's like, so like, good to us that it's like he's not going to take away our free will and our choices. He's still going to allow us to make these choices, but he's just going to kind of weave things all together. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, we can have verses that say things like, you know, he works all things for good of those who love him, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, how does he do that? It's like, only God can do that. Like, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I can't work all things for good. Mm-hmm. Like, what about these bad things? Mm-hmm. Like, well, it says like he can work all things. It doesn't say like he can work the good things for, right? It's like he works all things. Like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another, huge discussion, I guess, for another time.
Yeah. It'll have to come for another time because we're already at like 1:06 right now.
Maybe episode 300. Yeah. If we get there.
Episode 300, the 300 hour episode. All right. Well, Brett, do you have any closing thoughts for our listeners before we sign off? As this is getting to be kind of a longer episode.
One, great job, Damon. Holding down the fort. Continue to give our church and people, the listeners, stuff to think about, stuff to wrestle with, stuff to hear and listen, be encouraged by, and shout out to the listeners. If you've been listening for 200 episodes, that's a lot of time dedicated to listen to. A lot of the time was us three knuckleheads, but just to all the different people that have come in, it's so awesome to see that. Just that our church has this platform and a space to ask silly questions, talk about silly stuff, but also really dive deep into what God is doing to break things down. And so happy 200 episodes to you, but also happy 200 episodes to all of the listeners and the people that have tuned in or come on and shared. And they're just as much a part of it as we are. If there's people that aren't listening, then there's no point of us talking on here, or I guess it's just for our own fun, I guess.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Brett and to Kyle. Thanks for being my partners in this whole process. You know, as we've been going through the past 200 episodes, with the majority of them, the three of us being on. So just want to give a shout out to you guys. Thank you so much. And thanks to all the guests that have come on. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been trying to get guests on as much as we can, and you know, otherwise it would have just been the three of us a lot of times. So thanks to all the guests that have come on, you know, we really appreciate, or personally, I really appreciate you for taking time out of your day to come share what the Lord has been doing in your life and help to share with our congregation and help our congregation just to really get to know our people better. Right? This is an opportunity in a long form place to get to experience different people's journeys with the Lord. And, you know, there's so many people that have shared with me how different stories have impacted them. So just want to give a shout out to all the guests and all the listeners. Thanks again for coming and spending some time with us each week. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you. And so thank you. And thanks, Brett, for coming back on. Thanks for joining us for number 200.
Yeah. I have one thing. What was the title that we said the episode was going to be?
Having to Learn a New Way.
Having to Learn a New Way. Okay, the thing that I feel like God just put in my head is the new way, we will have to learn it, but it's not like in our own effort where we're going to have to like create some crazy form. Like God will make a new way. Mm. And we just have to learn to like abide by it and step into it. And we do have to figure out what it looks like maybe in a practical sense, or like in a, I don't know how we live it out, mm-hmm. but like, it's not going to be for you to just shoulder and try to will yourself through it. Like mm-hmm. God will create the avenue and create the way. And then it's our job to respond mm-hmm. in learning it and living it out. And so I hope people can be encouraged by it, that like God's going to do the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. And so, even though it could be a lot of work, like, yeah, he's going to put you on his back and do a lot of the work.
Yeah. Kind of in that, I think as you're saying that, the biggest thing for me is, are you open?
Mm.
And I think the Lord wants us to be open to this new way and open to what he's doing. Mm-hmm. 'Cause right, we can just be so set in the way that we want to do things or the way that we've done things.
True.
That we're not open to something different. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me in my journey, it's like, oh, the biggest thing that's been the most helpful has just being open and saying, okay, let me see if this is right
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and being open to it.
That's
and
good.
If it's not, then it's like, okay, that wasn't right.
Yeah.
But if it is, it's like, whoa, the Lord has kind of opened my eyes to something totally different.
That's good.
So as we learn this new way, it's really just about how open are we?
Mm.
All right. Well, hopefully that's an encouragement to you, all listeners out there. And thanks again for listening to our 200th episode.
200.
Hopefully we'll be around to make it to 300.
That's wild. Oh my gosh.
But that's a little bit of a while away. So hopefully we'll get there, and we will definitely get there if y'all keep listening. So thank you for listening. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.